Don Afridi or somebody ran off with one of our buses, and there was the very devil to pay afterwards, as you can imagine. Most impudent thing I ever heard of. The blighter waylaid the pilot, knocked him out, pinched his kit, and climbed into the cockpit without a soul spotting him. Gave the mechanics the proper signals, too, and was up and away in fine style. The trouble was, he never came back. Rutherford looked interested. When did this happen? Oh, must have been about a year ago. May 31. We were evacuating civilians from Baskul to Peshawar owing to the revolution. Perhaps you remember the business. The place was in a bit of an upset. I don't suppose the thing could have happened. Still, it did happen, and it goes some way to show that clothes make the man, doesn't it? Rutherford was still interested. I should have thought that you'd have had more than one fellow in charge of a plane on an occasion like that. Oh, we did on all the ordinary troop carriers, but this machine was a special one, built for some Maharaja originally, quite a stunt kind of outfit. The Indian survey people have been using it for high-altitude flights in Kashmir. And you say it never reached Peshawar. Never reached there, and never came down anywhere else, as far as we could discover. That was the queer part about it. Of course, if the fellow was a tribesman, he might have made for the hills, thinking to hold the passengers to ransom. I suppose they all got killed somehow. There are heaps of places on the frontier where you might crash and not be heard of afterwards. Yes, yes, I know the sort of country. How many passengers were there? Four, I think. Three men and some woman missionary. Was one of the men, by any chance, named Conway? Saunders looked surprised. Why, yes, as a matter of fact. Glory Conway. Did you know him? He and I were at the same school, said Rutherford a little self-consciously, for it was true enough, yet a remark which he was aware didn't suit him. He was a jolly fine chap, by all accounts of what he did at Baskul, went on Saunders. Rutherford nodded. Yes, undoubtedly. But how extraordinary. Extraordinary. He appeared to collect himself after a spell of mind-wandering. Then he said, it was never in the papers, or I think I should have read about it. How was that? Saunders looked suddenly rather uncomfortable, and even, I imagined, was on the point of blushing. Well, to tell you the truth, he replied, I seem to have let out more than I should have. Or perhaps it doesn't matter now. It must be stale news in every mess, let alone in the bazaars. It was hushed up, you see. I mean, about the way the thing happened. It wouldn't have sounded well. The government people merely gave out that one of their machines was missing and mentioned the names. Sort of thing that didn't attract an awful lot of attention among outsiders. At this point, Wyland rejoined us, and Saunders turned to him, half apologetically. I say, Wyland, these chaps have been talking about Glory Conway. I'm afraid I spilled the Baskul yarn. I hope you don't think it matters. Wyland was severely silent for a moment. It was plain that he was reconciling the claims of compatriot courtesy and official rectitude. I can't help feeling, he said at length, that it's a pity to make a mere anecdote of it. I always thought you air fellows were put on your honour not to tell tales out of school. Having thus snubbed the youth, he turned, rather more graciously, to Rutherford. Of course, it's all right in your case, but I'm sure you realise that it's sometimes necessary for events up on the frontier to be shrouded in a little mystery. On the other hand, replied Rutherford dryly, one has a curious itch to know the truth. It was never concealed from anyone who had any real reason for wanting to know it. I was at Peshawar at the time, and I can assure you of that. Did you know Conway well? Since school days, I mean.
Just a little at Oxford, and a few chance meetings since. Did you come across him much?
At Angora, when I